can our past sins and their continuing effect be put right? Is it possible to put right the problem of sin in us? Now that's a question for us as individuals. It's about the effect on us of your sins and my sins right up to the present time. There's a bigger question, of course. Can this entire creation that's groaning under the burden of sin ever be put right? That's a question about the entire cosmos, the created order, things visible and invisible, the material universe and the spiritual universe. Or we can put it like this. Can the Creator, whom we have offended, be reconciled to us? And that's the question that I want to deal with this morning. And if it's possible, how is it possible? By what means and by whom? So our subject is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Now just a little bit of background about the text. Paul here is setting out the preeminence of Christ, the infinite greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Christians at Colossae had started their Christian life very well. They'd been converted and were going on. But after a while, they were in danger of falling away. Like us, they were affected by loads of false information, if you like, going around in their cultural atmosphere. Just like today, times really don't change that much, and there's nothing new under the sun. And so they were affected by ideas and teachings and practices that threatened to blow them off course and make shipwreck of their faith. The result was that Christ, as they listened to these things and as they united their minds to these things, that the result was that Christ was growing smaller and smaller in their minds, in their consciousness, in their understanding, and in their lives, because they were relying on other things. And the fact of the matter is that if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. And that's the situation that Paul felt he had to address. So he reminds them of some basic Christian truth. And here he says, before you became Christians, you were strangers to God. You were alienated from him and you were opposed to him. And that's true of everyone. We might know about religion. We might have ideas about God. But in essence, until we know Jesus Christ as our own personal Saviour, we are strangers to him. And the reason for that is that in our heart and in our innermost being, if you like, we are his enemies. We don't like God. And now that's pretty radical, isn't it? You might even say it's just reactionary. And I'll come back to it in a minute. But I just want to make clear that this is the starting point. And this is what Paul says at the beginning part of this text about our relationship to God. Now, over against all of that, on the other side of it, what he says is Jesus Christ is incomparably great. He's the one who is alone sufficient to save and to keep all who come to God through him. And he can do it because of who and what he is. If you read this chapter again in your own time, you will see what a great doctrine of Christ is there. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All things were created by him and for him. Everything holds together. Everything consists in him. That's who he is. the true representation and manifestation of God, as Calvin said, of God's naked glory. He who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said. And you can read all about that in this chapter, Colossians 1. So Jesus, and only Jesus, has the power and the authority over everything and is infinitely great in order to be the Saviour who delivers a great salvation. A salvation that can't be undone once it's done. And God reconciles us to himself through this Jesus. So it's all about how reconciliation happens. Now, as you read the passage carefully, you'll see that God's work of reconciliation is kind of not time conditioned, but it has a past tense relating to what we once were. It has a present tense relating to what we become when we know Jesus Christ. And of course, it has a future tense, what we will become when God has done everything in us. So here in Colossians, Paul actually takes account of those three tenses. He doesn't want these Christians, he doesn't want you and me to return to the past and destroy the present and the future because we are living in our past. And so I want to say why this is especially important and relevant to us here this morning. If you're a Christian, you recognize that the call of your past can be very strong in the present. What does that mean? Well, it means that the devil spends his time reminding us of how bad we are, on what failures we are. Either that, or he's telling us how good we are and we're not bad at all. But either way, he wants us to remain captive to what we once were before we came to know Jesus, that we are really failed Christians. That would be his victory, of course. And it's a victory that he's won over countless millions down through the centuries. It would be our defeat if he could persuade us that that's the case. But God has dealt with our past. He has brought us into his presence. And he has guaranteed our future. The rest is all lies. The lies of the devil. The devil wants you to believe not only that you are a failure, but that God is. So what we have to ask ourselves today is, do I continue to believe God or the devil? Do I believe the truth or a lie? Shall I continue in sin on the broad road that leads to destruction, or on the narrow path that leads to life? So there are three tenses, three categories of time: past, present, future. All Christians have a past, what they once were. The present tense follows from the past. The present might still be the past for those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. But for those who do, the present is the result of knowing Jesus Christ. And then there's the future, what God will do for us and in us, ultimately the result of what he has done in the past. So these are the things I want us to think about under this general heading of reconciliation in Colossians 1, 21 to 22. So, let's look at the past tense very briefly. There it is. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And then he goes on to say, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. So you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind. Our past is one of alienation from God. If we don't believe in Jesus, that is also our present. We are alienated from God. In the past, before we knew Jesus Christ as our personal Saviour, we were his enemies. And God was our enemy too. But it says here, he has reconciled us to himself. So there's a past tense here, but with continuous effect. Christ died once in the past to reconcile us to God, now in the present. And that's why he says, you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. So there's a past tense there for us. And a past tense, if you like, for God. What God has done now. So these Colossians had been converted through hearing and believing the gospel. A gospel based on historical fact. Christ's birth, Christ's death, Christ's resurrection, Christ's exaltation, the sending of the Holy Spirit, and so on. And that good news of Jesus spread throughout the Greco-Roman world until it reached these people at the city of Colossae. And they heard the gospel and they suddenly realized that they had a past, an old past, and a new present. See? And that's how it happens. They had been converted through hearing the gospel. Someone preaches, another one believes. In the case of these Colossians, it was one of their own people, a man called Epaphras, who had heard the gospel himself, he'd been converted, and then he went back to Colossae and he preached the gospel to them. And suddenly they realized that they had a past and a new present. They were converted. They were converted. Have you been converted? Has that happened? Has that been your experience? But now, it's sometime after that, and he's reminding them that they had a past tense. They had been alienated and enemies of God in their minds by wicked works, and that God had liberated them through faith in Jesus Christ. It was their great escape. Freedom from bondage to sin. Freedom from enmity against God. And so their past tense was that they had been strangers, that they'd been distant, that there'd been disharmony, that they were God's personal enemies. The word there is used for personal enemies, not the enemy in general. And they'd been reconciled. So it's all pretty radical stuff, isn't it? That they had been predisposed. That was their natural inclination to be God haters. See? Enemies in their minds. Enemies in their nature. It was natural for them not to believe in Christ. It was natural not for them to love God but to hate him. Their wicked deeds came from this natural wickedness. Enemies in their mind by wicked works. You know, it's frightening to think about that. Especially if you think that you're not like that. If you believe that you are free, that you're okay, that your mind, your heart is all good and positive and lovely. Our ability to think and to reflect and to decide and to invent is so impaired by sin that we don't even know how bad we are. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But that's a radical thing to say in this society. But that's our past tense. I mean, if you think you're a Christian, or if you think you want to be a Christian, or if you think you ought to be a Christian, you've got to take account of that. There is a past tense. There's also a present. If we don't have Christ as our Saviour, without him, we remain as we have always been, alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. Now, there you are. You might say, I don't believe it. That's not me. I don't recognize myself. And I've outgrown those superstitions. I'm postmodern. I live in a super intelligent society. You live in a society that is characterized by scams and deceits and cruelty and warfare and murder and disrespect and irreligion. That's the kind of society you live in and I live in. And if you can't accept that, then you really are blind. Don't kid yourself. Without God, we are alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works. The all-inclusive verdict of Scripture is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we are born into a culture that has abandoned God, rejected his law, forsaken even the basic notion of right and wrong. The Bible describes that kind of culture as a culture in which good is called evil and evil is called good. So that was the world of the Colossians, and it's ours too. Bombarded with strange and novel ideas. For them it was particular ideas about heavenly intermediaries, angels, self-denial, pseudo-Jewish religious ideas and practices. It was a real melting pot of ideas then, just like today. And everything in the end was up to the individual. A kind of ideological pick and mix, if you like. But it all comes down to this: alienation and hostility toward God in thought and deed. And God's word says that is sin. Sin in thought, sin in word, sin in deed against God. And that's why it says all have sinned. And that's the permanent state of affairs since our first parents sinned and determined how our lives would go. You know, when David confessed his sin, it was a real bad sin. Even in the terms of society, it was a real bad sin, murder and adultery. But when he confessed his sin, he knew exactly what he had done. He knew exactly what it was. Against you, he says to God, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So we ought to thank God that he's much better at putting our sins behind him than we are about putting our sins behind us. But we all have a past tense, and it's characterized in the way that I've described: hostility to God, which reaches right up into our present, and we need to take it seriously. I don't know if I can talk like this, but I'm going to try. God also has a past tense. I know that he's eternal, unchangeable in his being and so on. I know that. But there is, in a sense, a past tense for God. See what it says. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. That's past tense, isn't it? I know there's a now in there. That's present tense. But it's also past tense. Now he has reconciled. See? So God has a past tense in the sense of what he has done in the past, what he has already done. It's his action in the past. It has effect in the present, we know, but it began in the past. In the death, in the resurrection, in the ascension, and the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is of first importance for the present. Paul emphasizes this in 1 Corinthians 15, that well-known chapter about the resurrection. But he starts off by saying, I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died, past tense, for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, past tense, according to the scriptures, and that he rose again, third day, past tense, according to the scriptures. And we can have no meaningful present without those past events, that past tense of God's activity. If Christ had not died, if Christ had not risen, then you and I have no hope at all. That's the point that Scripture makes. I'd remain in my past, in my sins, and be without hope. I may wrestle with my past all the way up to the present. Maybe I'll wrestle with it even into the future. But I have this comfort every time, at every point along the way, if I will lay hold of it. This is my comfort. He has reconciled me. He has reconciled me in the body of his flesh through death, through that historic moment on Calvary. He has reconciled me through his death. Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions. Now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. So that's mainly about the past tense. Briefly about the present. The present tense is that he has reconciled me now. Now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Present reconciliation based firmly on the past. The ground of it is the accomplished facts of Christ's death and resurrection. He's the Lamb of God who was slain from before the foundation of the world. So my reconciliation to God, that Calvary event, was never a reaction. It was all planned action on God's path. Jesus was slain before the world was. Reconciliation comes to me because God decided it. And it's of pure grace. It's nothing about me. I don't deserve it. I can't deserve it. I'll never deserve it. It's of pure grace and mercy. It's all because Christ died according to the scriptures. My present, my reconciled position is based on God's past, so to speak. I can't do it. You can't do it. You don't have to. He does it for us. I'm a sinner. I've broken his law. I continue to break his law. A law which says the soul that sins shall die. The law that says you shall have no other God before me. What gods are in your life and mine? I'm on the wrong side of that law. And I can't cross over into a safe place. I can't reconcile myself to him. And as the offended party, God has every right to condemn me. And he is the only one who can repair the relationship. And that's what he's done. Now he has reconciled. Now. And whatever you think as a Christian, whatever doubt you might entertain as a Christian, now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. My sins, not in part, but the whole, were nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So in this tense conscious way, this time conscious way, Paul is saying that my sins have been forgiven and that I can have peace with God through his Son. They're no longer reckoned to me, to my account, because God reckoned them to his account. I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And to doubt that is to doubt God himself. My personal guilt, that's more real to me now as a Christian than it ever was before, because I've got an awakened conscience now. I can be really bothered by my sin in a way that I never was before. But that can't undo what God has done and confirmed to me by Christ through the Holy Spirit. And so when Satan accuses me of what I know to be true, I have the answer of a clear conscience toward God and a blessed assurance from the Holy Spirit, speaking to my heart through the Holy Scriptures, yet now he has reckoned. That's amazing. So you see, for the believer in Christ, there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. To every sinner who will listen to the gospel and hear what God is saying to him, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. So when you're down and inclined to say, I'm useless, I'm a failure, I'm undone, I've undone all the good that God ever did for me, Paul says, yet now, he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, so that you can be holy and blameless and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, astonishing stuff. Past tense, present tense, what about the future? Very briefly. Paul says this about Christians, therefore we are no longer strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. This isn't our permanent home. We have another city, a continuing city, whose maker and builder is God. We have a bright future, and it's already started. God has given his past for my present, his present for my present, and the past and the present for my future. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The word reconcile used to mean the exchange of coins. It was used in that context. But here it means the exchange of persons. The exchange of the righteous one for the unrighteous ones. It stands for a new relationship based on God having dealt with my sin in the body of Christ's flesh through death. And on this basis, he argues in Romans chapter 5, if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more than that, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We've received it. You better believe it. A done deed. The hostility is gone. Peace with God is here through our Lord Jesus Christ. The cause of the problem has been dealt with. My past is forgiven. My present and my future are secured in spite of my own insecurities. And this is the message that I want you to take away this morning. Now he has reconciled us. Now, in the body of his flesh through death, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He alone has done it through Christ alone. According to these verses, for it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. Redemption is bigger than you and me. But by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Reconciliation by God through the blood of the cross, far in excess of anything that you or I could ask or think. And you can have that this morning through faith in the Saviour, the Son of God. And if you have faith in the Saviour, Son of God, it is yours now. Your past, your present, and your future are all tied up in him. On that basis, who would want to continue in sin? Amen. Amen.